Okay. You said short talk. I've got 45 minutes to fill, yeah? Right. I'm not an action figure. I'm not lifting that. Right. Okay. Hello, I'm John. I'm a children's worker here. I've been working here for the last like 10 years doing kids' work and stuff voluntarily. I do stuff over the summer. I don't know why I'm giving you my credentials. I'm already up here. It's like I've already got the job. Well, we are here. This is me. This is my talk. That is me. Just to make sure that this is not an imposter. That is definitely me. Right, okay, so my talk is going to be about, next slide, please, giving 100%. This guy is giving 100%. If he was not giving 100%, he would be literally crushed under the weight of his responsibility. His responsibility being lifting all of those weights. Now, this talk really revolves around something very simple. And it's going to have two very simple truths to begin with. So, next slide, please. This talk is all about how God delights in us. So, all of us, God delights in. And in order to come to that, we also first have to realize that God loves us. God loves us. Every single one of you in here, God loves. Now, I'm not talking about smoochy, smoochy, romantic kind of Valentine's Day love, because that's a bit gross. Not for me, obviously. I'm married. It's great. I like the sleeping on the sofa. It's fine. But God delights in us. God created us. God created every single one of you here to delight in. God wants to delight in you. Okay, so next slide, please. If we turn to Zephaniah 3:17, it's only a short chapter. You're not going to have time to find it in your Bibles because I'm going to race through it. But it says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." And this is the part I want to take out of this, the really important part today. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. God delights over our moments of joy. When things are going right for us and we are honoring him, he delights in us. Now, next slide, please. In Psalm 147, verses 10 to 11, in the New Living Translation, because I like the New Living Translation, all of my are taken from the New Living Translation. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. You see, right, God created horses. God created man. So obviously, God knows how strong a horse is, right? Because he created them. But God truly delights in those that acknowledge God, that those people that turn to God, those people that fear God. And that is when God truly delights in us. So it's a two-way thing. Relationships, our relationship with God is a two-way thing. It is a relationship. Can I have two volunteers? Oh, your hand was straight up. And your hand was up pretty fast. Come on, come on. Yep, Izzy. Is that your name, Izzy? Because she shouted it. That's how I know. I mean, it's not like you're wearing a name badge or anything either. Right, okay. Okay, so this is how relationships work. Okay, can you stand just over here? Let's get some symmetry on the stage here. Right, can you hold up a couple of fingers for us? Hold up them high above your head. It doesn't matter how many. Ooh, okay. How many fingers is she holding up?
Eight
fingers and two thumbs. Let's not be tricked by that. Okay. And can you hold up some fingers? It doesn't have to be the same amount. Oh, okay. And how many fingers is she holding up?
Five.
Four fingers and one thumb. Let's not be tricked by that. You kids are tricky. I know how this game works. Okay. So this is a working relationship. We can both see how many fingers the other is holding up, right? Okay. Now, I want you to turn around this way. Okay, now can you hold up some fingers again for us, right above your head? Oh, okay. How many fingers is she holding up?
Four
fingers and two thumbs. Good. I'm not falling for that. Okay, you put your hands down. Okay, can you hold some fingers up? And don't look. Do you know how many fingers she's holding up?
No.
No. Guess, go on.
Five?
No, it's four fingers and one thumb. It's not five. Come on, are you guys learning nothing? You know what, forget it, I'm going home. Right. Okay, so that is not a working relationship. This is sometimes the relationship we have with God. You see, when Jesus died, that was God proving himself that he loves us. That Jesus took all of our sins and he was willing to prove to us that he loved us in that way. So God has promised now that he will always be facing this way. He will not turn his back on us. He will not turn around. He will always be facing this way. But sometimes we can do this and we completely turn our back, or we can do this. We can kind of see out the side of our corner of our eye what God wants, what he's doing. All right, thank you very much, girls. You can sit down. Can we give them a round of applause? Thank you, girls. Very good. Very good. And we all have relationships with so many different people in so many different ways. And we all have different relationships. You know, we have relationships with our friends, our family. We've got relationships with our parents. We've got relationships with our teachers and our bosses. But our relationship with God is going to be very, very different to all of these things. But how do we make, where is it that our relationship sometimes goes wrong with God? Can I have the next slide, please? So we're going to be looking a little bit at half-heartedness. Now, just finding my place. If we have a God who loves us, a God, creator of the universe, creator of everything that you see around us, and he unconditionally loves us, surely we would want him not to just to be like, yay, good job. That was all right. Well done. Thanks. That was all right. Thank you for doing that thing for me. We would want him to be so excited about us. We would want him to be delighted in us. But the problem is that that's quite difficult to do when we're not really trying in our relationship. So I've got here a box of compatible with the leading brand bricks. Who likes Lego? Who likes Lego? Ah, David, your hand was right up. David, do you want this Lego box? Or this Wilco blocks box? Ooh. Do you want it? Come on, I'm going to give it to you. I'm actually going to give you this. How do you feel about that?
Happy.
Do you feel pretty happy about that? It's good. You can make this little alien thing. It's cool. Hold on. There you go. I'm keeping these bits though. How do you feel?
Sad.
But no, you can still make something with that. You can still make something. You won't be able to make what it's designed for, but you know, because you can't use these bits. But you could still make something. So that's pretty cool, right? Yeah, it's all right. Go on then. Go on, you can have the whole lot. I feel a bit mean now. There you go. How do you feel now? Does that feel better? Oh, sorry. You're not getting that bit. Well, there you go. That is yours. You can keep that. Let's go sit down. Well done. Thank you. Now, that's quite a simple observation. You can probably see where I'm going to go with this. We can be a little bit like the Lego box. Look, God has made us and designed us for some amazing things. God has amazing plans on our lives, whether we realize it or not, whether we truly believe it or not. God has plans on our life. But sometimes these plans, if we don't give him all the pieces to our Lego box, then he's not going to be able to make us into the thing that he wants to make us into. He's not going to be able to follow the plans if we're not giving him everything. It's a very simple illustration, but it kind of works. And in the same way, when we had Sarge and the teddy, up here, and they were talking, you know, and Sarge decided that he wasn't really going to do it anymore. He was going to do a little bit, but he wasn't going to go wholeheartedly into it anymore. And the child wasn't as excited anymore. The child didn't delight in him in the way that he wanted to. So, where do we go from here? You know, the next slide, please. So this is the challenge. This is the challenge. What are the ways that we can make our God delight in us? Now, this is one thing that I'm going on. There are many ways to make God delight in us, but there are some very simple ways to make God delight in us. And I am going to keep it simple today for you guys and all the adults who are listening, because we found out already they're a little bit simple and they don't understand the whole four fingers and one thumb thing. So we're going to keep it simple. A lot of us in this room were born very, very lucky. A lot of us were born into a safe middle-class environment, a safe middle-class home, and it is very easy for us to sit here and go, great, church. I'm going to go to church now. Just going to sit here in church. Going to grow, do some worship. Woo, worship, yeah. And then I'm going to listen to some guy at the front talk for ages. And then I'm going to go home and not do a lot. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of hardship in our life. It's very easy for us to not see that there are people around us that need love. Everyone needs love. Everyone needs a little bit of love in their life. And there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world at the moment. There's a lot of political unrest. There's a lot of people who are poor. There are refugees. There are orphans. There are people who don't have enough money to buy food to eat in some of the poorest places in the world. And it's really easy for us to just go home and sit on Facebook and write a rant and post something that we saw in The Guardian. And then, yes, I've done my bit for society. Have you? And kids, if things are hard at school, it's really easy for us to just go, yeah, oh, school's awful. I'm going to run home. I'm going to lock myself in my door and just play on the iPad. Yay, Angry Birds. Do people still play Angry Birds? You like Angry Birds. Cool. Okay, I'm still down with the kids. But it's really easy for us to just go home and lock ourselves away and forget about the outside world. But this is the thing. In the Bible, we have a message of love. That is a message of love. What is the point in coming to church if you are not going to let a message of love change your actions? Start putting the words of the Bible into action. Jesus said, James said in the next slide, please. Thank you. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in Jesus and all that we're here talking about today, that doesn't mean that you can't care for orphans and widows. But if you do believe in God, if you do believe in Christ as your Savior, then this should be a fundamental part of our religious life, is caring for others and showing love. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to go out and start orphanages and kids. That's going to be difficult for you because you guys aren't going to be able to start an orphanage because you're kids yourselves. But we can all show love in different ways. Can I have the next slide, please? Where is the love? We all have the opportunities in love. So, kids, in school, you have loads of opportunities to show love. You can talk to the kids that no one really talks to. You can report bullying. If you see someone being bullied, report it to your teacher. That is an amazing way of showing love and not just sitting there and standing by while someone else suffers. You know, share your lunch with someone, maybe a kid who you know forgot their lunch today or something like that. Or, and teachers, you're going to like this one, just say something nice to your teacher. You know, you're not in front of the whole class. You don't have to do it in front of the whole class. But, you know, when everyone else goes out to play, go come up to your teacher, go, hey, teach, good job. And your teacher will find that amazing. Adults, Adults, we have so much freedom to do good in this world. Yeah, we can donate to charity. We can volunteer, but there's little other things we need to be looking out for. We could be looking out for just the opportunities every day brings us. Like if you're mowing your lawn, maybe ask your next door neighbor, do you need your lawn mowing as well? You know, talk to a traffic warden. Go to a traffic warden and say, I actually value what you do because otherwise there'd be parking chaos all through the city center. So thank you. But we have so many opportunities to show love. And that is something that will really show that we are pushing, that is something that will really show that we are living out the gospel, that we are really living out what God wants. And if we can do that, if we can show love, then surely our God is going to delight in us. Now, if you're here today and you're wondering a lot about what we're talking about and you don't quite understand who this Jesus is or who this God is or why this Jesus died and how I'm talking about Jesus being a ransom for us and saving us from our sins, well, we're going to be starting an Alpha course in this church fairly shortly. And before someone comes up to give us a bit more information about that, we have this video. Maybe.
So we have an Alpha course starting on the 1st of March here. It's a great opportunity to come along for a few weeks and have the opportunity to ask those questions about what is faith about, who is Jesus, is there a God, all those kinds of things. We will eat together, we'll watch a short film, and then there's an opportunity to discuss and for you to ask questions. So there were some leaflets about Alpha that were out on the chairs. Take one away, have a think about whether that would be good for you. If you want to know more, come and talk to me or any of the kids team, or there'll be people at the top of the stairs on your way out, and you can talk to them as well. So we're going to finish with one more song. So over to Laura. Fantastic. Just one or two things to say as we finish. We've got a couple of kids' events coming up. If your kids have been at Holiday Club this week and had a good time, on the 4th of March, we've got Kids Plus, which is a Saturday morning, an opportunity for kids and families to come and have some fun together, do some creative things. That's at 10:30. There's some flyers about that on the stairs. And on the 20th of March, Monday night, we've got a movie night where there'll be food and the kids will sit and watch a movie together. That's £2. You can buy tickets again at the top of the stairs. That would be great if you came along to that. Just for church, can I remind you, we've got evening communion service tonight, 7:30. It'd be great to see some of you there. I can't promise that it will be as loud and as noisy as this morning. In fact, I can almost guarantee that it won't be. I just want to finish by saying thank you. Thank you to all of those who've taken part this morning. Can we say thank you to John for speaking? Thank you to Judith and Mel, who led us this morning. Thank you to the band, Laura and Rich and Pete and Emily and Steve, who've led us so well. But I really just want to say a really big thank you to all those who've led at Kids Club, Holiday Club this week. Particularly to Sarah, who's not well this morning and isn't able to be here. But Sarah and the team have done a great job. It's been a joy being here, walking around this week and just seeing how much fun the kids had. And I know how exhausted the leaders have been. So I really do appreciate all that you've done. Please stay around. We've got tea and coffee, and we finished quite early, so there's lots of time just to say fellowship. There'll be tickets to buy for the movie night. I think I already said that. Were you not listening to me? My wife doesn't listen to me. Shock. There are tickets to be bought at the top, but please stay around. It's been great to see you this morning. Hope you have a great week.